And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show for today. And my very special guest is still Paul Webster, and we're talking about the legal fictions in the English court system there, as well as getting out of your gas and bills and all of these utilities. I don't quite understand that, Paul, exactly. How is it that people are entitled to free use of the electricity and or gas grid because they pay their taxes? Is that how it works?
No, because when the country went bankrupt, the people would be offering their labour, which is going to be the value in this system. You have a right to the natural resources, which is gas, water and electric. You have this natural right. However, it does need paying for, the infrastructure needs paying for, but that's why we invite companies over to our country to conduct business and commerce in our country to put money into that infrastructure. In the Bills of Exchange Act, in conjunction with the Consumer Credit Act 1974, it's a commercial arrangement that pays, that are liable for the gas, water and electric. And what happens is, if you live in a domestic property, if you ask for a paper bill, I mean, it's not a surprise that you will get discounts for going to direct debit, because you'll never see a paper bill. So you wouldn't understand necessarily what a bill of exchange is. But they issue your domestic property with a bill with a check at the bottom of it. That's a liability check. That's not a payment slip. That's a joint giro credit check. It's drawn on the commercial bank, which is your credit. So it's drawn from that. Your credit is a prepaid account. So rather than you use pieces of paper that you go out and buy clothes and food with, rather than use those bits of paper, you can use them for clothes and food and get your gas, water and electric for free, because it's already been paid. It's already there for you. That's why you're registered. And that liability check is a bill of exchange, and you have three obligations to meet with a bill of exchange. So with these bills, you either transfer, you either send the bill to the commercial bank, who pay the utility company that's on the gas bill. Because what the, but if, let me put it this way. Say I ask you to lend me £200, and you write me a check for £200, right? And an hour later, you say to me, I need that £200 back. Am I going to go and draw the funds out of my account to give to you? B, am I going to go and cash the cheque and then give you your money back? Or am I going to give you your cheque back? So that's what the companies do. They give you a cheque and then say, you owe us this. So they've paid you a cheque, and what you're meant to do is transfer it by your endorsement with your signature, so you execute the document back to them. Now, that's your bill paid. That is your bill paid. So why are little old ladies sat in front of Caligas heaters with quilts wrapped around them, scared to put the heating on? She's earned it. You know, she's earned it. It's a travesty, because I got shouted at for telling people that the gas is free. The gas bill will go up because I'm not paying it. And to try and explain to somebody that you are paying it, because a bill of exchange is treated as cash. So if I've got a bill of exchange for £10, it's equal to your £10 of a note. So bill of exchange is key in commerce. That's why they use it. You don't see banks transferring paper notes to another bank or precious metals. They sign and date something. That's it. It's a done deal if you're a domestic property. That's how it's written. That's how commerce is meant to have been written. The thing is, have you heard of the posh school down south here called Eton? You've gone offline, mate.
No, I haven't heard of Eton. No.
Eton is like Oxford. It's
okay.
A very posh, very posh private school.
So it's not
the
like
age of 11.
So it's not like Breakfast.
No, no, not eating. And it's like, if by the age of 11, Vinny, you are taught the Bill of Exchange Act by the age of 11 at Eton, because this is how commerce works. And like I said, I got this shown to me, and we were messing about with all all what mechanisms that they would were wriggling out of. Like, there's a term that used to be used called accepted for value, which was still transferred by endorsement. It was acceptable for a bill of exchange, but they tightened it up. But they can't get rid of bill of exchange because it would stop them operating. But the very fact is, the company issue you with a gas bill with a liability check. That means you don't pay. It even says on the check, no fee payable at post office counter. That means you don't pay. So, it's like I said, you either send it to the bank, where the bank ignores what you've done. They just pretend that they're not the facilitator. You transfer it back to the company with your signature by endorsement, which means the company have now got that check. That check is theirs. They can sign and cash it. Your bill's paid. Or the third, which is the most unlikely one, because although I'd love to see somebody try it one day, I may try it just for the devilment, to walk into the local post office with that check, sign, date it, and say, can you give me the cash on that amount of check, please? Because that's a cashable gyro. Now, with that money, I am meant to go and pay my gas bill. If I decided to just cash that and spend the money, then I am still liable for that gas, right? That's what they will say. But the fact is, it's the corporation that's attached to the birth certificate that this rule comes to.
Are we saying that you could actually go in, cash a check that the utility company has sent to you, put that money into your account, and then pay the bill that they've sent you, kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what it's meant to be. That's why they send you a check.
Ah. Well, now, wouldn't that be interesting if it was the people using sleight of hand, not the utility companies?
Well, that would be fraud, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I fail to see the difference between what fraud is and what the law mandates as lawful.
Fraud is causing harm or loss. Well, the fact is, they're claiming I'm causing them loss because I've kept their payment. What they do is they send me the payment because they can't cash it. Right? Because they're not me. So I give them the permission to cash it by transferring it to them. That check is now theirs. So if they don't choose not to cash it, whose fault is it they've not been paid?
Mm.
I give you a check for £1 million, how long would it take you to put it in your bank?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people would say, in fact, you'd also have to be cautious because when you put in a certain amount of money, they always ask you, where did that money come from?
Yeah. Well, we've just had that recently, haven't we? I mean, HSBC was stating that they weren't anything over, I think it was £2,000. If you wanted to withdraw it, you had to explain why. You had to explain what you wanted it for. That soon stopped. They soon changed the policy on that. They've decided that that's far too big a step to try and enforce. I mean, you've got banks everywhere charging you for taking your own money out. It's all about one last grab, this, isn't it? The bank tax is virtually knocking on our door. We saw it in Cyprus where anybody with £100,000 of savings, they were taking 80% of that through a bank tax, which is what I'd probably call robbery.
Which the Prime Minister of New Zealand and the Finance Minister, Bill English, said was a good idea and we should try it here.
Well, why not? I mean, there's a lot of people made a lot of money from it. I mean, I've thought of trying it myself. I thought if I just knocked on every door in my street and said, look, I'm going to collect £10 a week off you, just make sure you give it me. And if you don't give it me, I'm going to force you to give it me. That would be a nice little earner. I wouldn't have to go to work. I wouldn't have to do anything. But that's basically what these people are doing. And we've allowed this to happen, not through stupidity, it's just plain ignorance. You know, we've been hoodwinked. That we've had the hood put over our head for long enough, and it's only people who actually do some research and do some thinking and not be. And it takes a lot, and I think for the main part of it, it'll take for near enough everybody for it to come knocking on their door, or at least until we get over that critical mass point, and then people can actually see it from the comfort of their armchairs. Do you know what I mean? Well, and then be encouraged to start taking a bit of responsibility for the lives, because it never ceases to amaze me. people who go into debt and then go into bankruptcy or debt consolidation firms, and all of a sudden they can knock you this huge amount of money off. A mate of mine had a £1,400 bill, and they, after so long of ignoring them, they wrote to him and said, good news, if you pay today, we'll accept £400. Now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't afford to lose £1,000, what was owed to me, pal. But yet this company can just write it off. Why? Because it doesn't exist. It's a negotiable fee. Mm. They're trying to fish you in. You give you details, they can take you to a court, and the court's going to find in their favour.
Well, can we talk about critical mass for a moment? You talked there before. It's the same fraud perpetuated, isn't it, on the entire masses. And the masses participate in the fraud because they can't think critically. Ergo, if you want critical mass, you need the masses to be able to think critically.
Think critically, yeah. And it's like only getting, I mean, you know, my friends and family, some of them no doubt are sick to death of me going on about this stuff because they don't want it to be real. They don't want, you know, it's very easy to be dismissive of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
But without having actually some argument. Opinion is opinion, fact is fact, and everybody can debate. And at the end of the day, everybody's entitled to their opinion. When I stop trying to force an opinion on people by just saying, please look, it's important, that type of thing, then my life started to get easier because I wasn't as angry. You know, because you go through different... When you start looking into this stuff, you go through all the emotions. You know, you go through the grief. You know, when I was losing stuff like property, you grieve because there's emotions attached to that property. So you can't help that in the game, they are ripping your heart and soul out, especially of some people. Don't get me wrong. The system itself is perfect if two willing parties go for a genuine negotiation. But that's not what's happening in most of our county courts. People go in there and they're being fleeced. Now, if me and you had a dispute, Vinny, and we went to court...
If that's the way it works, then it does work perfectly either way. One works perfectly for honest people, and the way it works now works perfectly for the dishonest ones.
Exactly. And the fact is that unless you know you're right, the thing is with it is they've got far too greedy and they have become complacent. And it's allowed cracks for people to see through and go, hang on a minute, I don't need to even be here. You've no jurisdiction or authority to have me here. You can't even take my pen off me and give it to this man. Never mind take my property. It's theft. But they are that used to you taking a solicitor. Now, if you take a solicitor, which I'm sure that the mass majority of people who you know, if they got a court summons, the first thing they'd do is seek advice from a solicitor. So you take a solicitor into a courtroom, that solicitor has sworn an oath to the civil procedure rules and is bound by them. Because he is bound by them, he automatically gives jurisdiction and authority to the judge on your behalf because you're now deemed as a child. Because you brought your guardian with you to look after you. So when some bellend like me stands in front of him with no solicitor and says, you have no jurisdiction, what do they do? Well, the ideal thing, Vinny, would have been to go, oh, you're quite right, Mr. Webster, this is mediation. Yes, I need the consent of both parties. On you go. That's it. That would have been it. That would be how the system's meant to work. Because it's a service. It's a private service that's offered. They try and make it you think that it is law that you have to do it, and it isn't.
You kind of have to be part of the club in order for them to treat you right.
Yes, and what you were thinking earlier on, Vinny, about a syndicate being in layer here. Well, over here we had, I think it was at least three articles in the Independent, the Express and the Telegraph, stating that a Metropolitan Police report stated that there were organised crime gangs of Freemasons spread throughout the judiciary, political and police. Now, if that's coming into the likes of the Daily Fail and stuff like that, they can't hide the fact that that's coming out anymore. It'll make them look very silly. So they're starting to have to fish with us. They're starting to have to feed us these tidbits because we've got the main meal already. We know that this stuff is getting very serious now. You know, and it started with me because people are just too greedy. They've had it all their own way for far too long. Like I said, it's a very quiet town where we're from. And, you know, people are very simple, hard-working people. And it's very easy to pull the wool over people's eyes. And you don't really need clever people to do it. You just need people to think that they're better than these people because they know more. And that's basically what it is in this system. But now they've been caught with the pants down. They're running away and shouting, liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
Well, everybody can see the naked. They're done.
Well, it reminds me of the behaviour of a bratty child. That's what we're talking about, kind of like childish. Now, I was, and in many parts still am, a very bratty child.
Yeah.
And
fair with that.
I would always, you know, go and throw off in tantrums and act like a real terror and that kind of thing whenever I didn't get my own way. And I think the reason why that was is because I'd had my own way for so long.
Yeah.
That I couldn't deal with not having it my own way.
I can agree with you on that, Vinny. When I had two very hard-working parents, they grew up with next to nothing. Like I said, my mum grew up Liverpool War, grew up with hardly anything. Those two people worked like dogs. My mum did 13 hours a day in her own business, and my dad did long-distance lorry driving permanent nights. So when my dad came home to go to bed, my mum was going up to go to work. But I had the best life because at one point, Vinny, and you know, when I look back on it, it didn't do me any favours, but this was the way to give me what they didn't have. I had four bikes to choose from. I was spoiled rotten. I was the only child. You know, so these people worked so, so hard to give me all that, and it didn't do me any favours, and you do act like that spoiled child. Then after my dad was killed, it sent me off making a decision that was one of the biggest decisions of my life, which was to get married and have kids at a young age. When I look back, I think I was just looking for different things, but that marriage brought me a daughter that is, you know, doing so well now at college with photography, and we've got such a bond, me and that kid. So you make those decisions, but out of that came, you know, because things happen in relationships. When I tried to move on, I ended up with more than I planned, more than I bargained for. You know, I had insecurity issues, you know, as you're working through your own spiritual stuff as well. I had my own security issues that I've carried, and for some reason I decided that I was going to pick a woman who suffered with a lot of her own issues and treated me quite poorly as a test. You know, I ended up doing a psychology course, Vinny, because I needed to get an angle of some of the reactions I used to get. You know, I was very used to getting my own way. It was completely the opposite. The shoe was definitely on the other foot. And from that, it's pushed me through all this devastation with the property then being sold fraudulently. You know, they committed a blatant lie to sell this property. And in between all that, my head fell off twice. I had a breakdown the first time, and then the second time wasn't quite as bad because you do become stronger. You don't know where you get it from. You know, it's like little things like my dog just being there. Just for that second, it snaps you back into this reality and says, not everything's shit like that. And then you realise that the size of the beast that you're up against, and this beast has been here a long time, and you think, who am I to challenge this? You know, well, if nobody challenges it, then there'll never be a challenge. Somebody's got to challenge it, and it's, you know, like I said, this all came looking for me. It's not been easy to try and fit work in and try and get all this stuff in as well, and then try and find some time where you can just laugh and be happy. Because don't get me wrong, I get plenty of time to sit around and research and stuff like that. That's not a problem. But it's the time when I don't want to think about this stuff. When, you know, when enough's enough, and you just need that break from it, from it completely. You know, this stuff, if you're an addicted personality and you need drink or anything like that to get through this stuff, you know, you're pushing the envelope of your boundaries. You know, there's a lot of people I know who've ended up as maybe not alcoholics, but they've gone through a phase where they've drank every night at some stage when they've been going through this stuff. Stuff that doesn't need to happen. Stuff that is only happening because certain greedy people, in what you were saying, syndicates, these are all separate syndicates. So at your local county court, you might have a gang of four people who would deal with the shit that you might bring in, as in trouble. But if you turn up with a solicitor, you're going to get the nicey-nicey judge. But as soon as you start challenging them, that's when they get the guns out. I had the judge changed on me 10 minutes before the hearing, at the first hearing, and that was because one question was asked, what jurisdiction do you stand under today to have authority? And within 4 minutes, armed response attended, running in and out of the courtrooms, looking for a breach of the peace. So I knew that that was for me, and I had police attendance at the next five hearings. I've never had, over this case, I've never had an hearing without a police presence. It went down to two, but over the first five hearings, I had over 30, including armed response and video evidence gatherers, for one question, which was, where do you get your authority from? That's how scared they are. They just want to intimidate you and bully you.
Here's where we get our authority from. You see all those thugs with the guns and the uniform and the black uniforms behind you and all the surveillance devices? That's where we get our authority from.
Yeah, but then the armed response police sergeant comes walking over to you and says, why are we here? And you have to tell them that basically because they're scared that I'm going to attempt to arrest them for abuse of public office. Because if they claim that no, they're not in public office, because if they are claiming public office, they're answerable to me and they do not get jurisdiction. But if they're not claiming public office, they're claiming private, that's completely different. That's offering of a service. So whichever way they go, they're wrong. It's completely transparent.
Well, you've entrapped them.
If you claim that you've got authority over me, show me a proof of claim. Am I your slave, or have I got a contract with you for something? Because if you haven't, you have no authority over me, because only God, Creator, Consciousness, Allah, whatever you want to call what you believe in. But the Creator, then you, then the judge, then solicitors. That's the hierarchy.
So can't they just say, yes, you are a slave?
Well, then they'd be admitting to slavery. Surely that would prick up a few ears. Surely some people...
Is slavery illegal?
No, it's not. It's not illegal. It's
well, then they could just tell you you're a slave and it's legal. So, you know, pay us the money, slave.
They could, but they're talking to your company. They're talking to your corporation. And that's totally different to the man. So if you define yourself clearly as man from Creator, whatever it is you want to call that, nobody has higher authority other than God. Nobody has higher authority because it's natural law, it's common law.
But what about a judge with a God complex? Would that count?
Yeah, it would, because he's the type of arsehole that I've come into contact with who turned the European Convention of Human Rights over. He decided he could ignore that. Now, that along with case law would be like me going up to a devout Catholic priest, giving him the Bible, and then not bothering him to read it, and then say, I think what God meant to say was, because it's, I've never been that confident. You know, I'm quite confident about this stuff, even though I learn something new every day that maybe takes a piece out of the puzzle that looked like it fitted there, and then something else comes in and joins it even stronger, it looks even better. And it's all about aggregating information. It's not about, I found out what's going on. It is this, it's this and this, and I'm right. That's not what this is about. This is about people all not proving each other wrong, not shooting people down, not arguing with each other. I mean, the stuff that I've seen all over the internet, Vinny, and people are all trying to get to the same ends, but oh, he's criticised my work, and he's tried to set me up as a fraud or anything like that. You know, you've got all these people who are meant to be doing podcasts and blogs and putting up websites and on Facebook, and they're meant to be promoting something, yet they're arguing within groups. And you know that provocateurs go in there, of course they do. But the fact is, anybody who wants to argue with you about something, I mean, I had a debate with a guy who is ex-police. He's been very successful at bringing, at least getting a crime number and an investigation going into history, crimes in history. And he kept he couldn't see the difference of talking about a person and a child, that children couldn't be classed as property because of Edward the Confessor or something like that. But it quite clearly states that if you refer to your offspring, or whatever they want to call it, as a child, you're claiming a person, therefore you're claiming an entity, a corporation, and you're in that jurisdiction. So what you're doing is, you are now in civil jurisdiction, talking about your person, your company, in civil procedure rules, and they're going to railroad you, they're going to do you.
Well, it's not entirely dissimilar from how this new, what was it called, the TPPA, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, big yep. trade deal that's going now around the Pacific Rim. Yep. It works like that. If you have any grievance, any company, private, has any grievance against the government, let's say the government passes a law banning smoking or something like that, the tobacco companies can then take the country to the world court, which the corporations control, and get yeah. a judgment that they want. And yeah. It's basically just a larger version of what you're describing here on the civil plane, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's what you're talking about. In comparison, my claim, I mean, if you take away the physical, mental and emotional aspects of it, and you just look at the bare bones of the business aspect of it, mine is nothing. You know, 98,000, 100,000, 60,000 is nothing compared to what you're talking about. You're talking about taking a country to the World Court. If they've got smart enough lawyers that have sifted through all that legislation and gone, hey, look at this, bang, 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 we can get this country on this. It'll cost us so much to make the application and go for it. This is the forecast of whether of how, because I don't know if you ever noticed that things go before certain boards, and it's got to be, in some boards, it's got to be over 60%. Like a barrister would like to say, right, that's over 60%, I'll take that on. If it's not over 60%, they won't even consider it. So if they've got that nailed on and they can take a country to the World Court, that, and they control that World Court, then it's just about a transference of wealth. Yeah. It's not about a fine, it's not about anything else, it's a transference of wealth. You owe me this, this and this, I'll tell you what, we'll give you a bit of that. You know, it's all jobs for the boys. It's not all about Freemasonry, because I know a lot of really good, genuine Freemasons, and they're not in it for anything like what the society has been used yeah. for.
Well, and again, this is how the syndicate works. It operates yeah. inside Freemasonry, it operates inside the courts, inside the police, inside the politics. Not all of them are Freemasons, not all of them are cops, not all of them are politicians, but they have a select few throughout all of these organizations, usually in positions of power and influence, who can, if necessary, move things along in the syndicate's best interests.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what's happened at this point. You've had one judge who's... basically, we feel that the judiciary system has had a message put out to it that let none of these bastards win. Not one of them. Mm. You know, not me, not anybody. Don't let them win any costs. At any costs. So you have got people who are claiming to be a judge with authority, therefore acting public office over you, and they are turning case law over, and they are turning European Convention of Human Rights over without evidencing any authority, and making orders that they are telling you that you're liable for. Well, how can you defend that?
Well, they've also got the ability of, shall we say, endless hurdles. You know, you ever heard of the expression shifting the goalposts? And I recall seeing a film not too long ago called North Country. It was about the woman who led the first class action lawsuit for sexual harassment in American history that wound up actually changing the whole world and having sexual harassment in employment contracts for the first time. And it turns out that this happened in like the early 80s or something.
Yeah,
and they only just got a settlement in like the late 90s or early 2000s or something. So even something that's already had a film made about it or something of that nature hasn't even been yet rendered judgment. They're that capable of throwing delays and hurdles in your way. They can conceivably keep you from the truth and justice and victory forever. Depending on how much they're willing to throw at you.
Well, basically, what you want to look at it is, if you imagine when you're going through life, and obviously you'd want everything that was true, you would want to know what was true and what wasn't true. So, as long as you're following that mechanism of truth, you can't go wrong with it. But the trouble is, these people have had these goalposts moving so fast for so long. It's like when you look at something, so you put your argument down and you're looking at something in your argument. This is why when people put, like I did when I first started putting documents in, I put like 17-page dossiers in like that, telling them everything by what colour my kitchen sink was. And I gave my case away because they just went, no, don't need to look at that. No, no, doesn't mean anything. We're talking about trustees of land. Now, trustees of land doesn't mean anything. Because it doesn't apply to me. It's their business. It's their negotiations. I didn't want to take part in it. They insisted I must. Because why? Because they claim jurisdiction. Well, evidence it. Well, no, we don't have to. That's basically what they're saying.
Mm.
So, Vinny, I could take you to court and say, he owes me £1,000. I've got a witness called Dave from down the pub who witnessed me giving that £1,000. But Dave's not giving me any statement. Any signed affidavit, and he isn't allowed to come into court so you can actually cross-examine him as to where this happened. It is just taken for granted that you owe me £1,000. Would you call that justice?
I don't think so.
There you go. That's exactly how we're doing it. Now, like I said, not every hearing is corrupt. Could there be corrupt people at every hearing? Of course, there could be corrupt people anywhere where you are.
Yeah, but if you get suspicious and paranoid of absolutely everybody, you'll soon find yourself without any friends or allies.
Yes, certainly. But it's like I said, the system worked perfect. If me and you have a genuine dispute over a property, and me and you just say, let's cut our losses, pal, we'll put it up for sale and split whatever it is. That's how the system's meant to work.
Yeah.
But people are being tricked into the system. Because you don't know what to say in that court, because everything that you're saying is telling them is civil. You're just shouting, civil law, civil law, civil law. That's all they're hearing with all the words that they're picking out. The Carl Lentz stuff, it seems to be an opportunity to try and bypass that and take it straight back to common law. Whereas you evidence your authority over me. You've ignored case law. You've ignored the European Convention of Human Rights.
Mm.
You need... You're entitled to fair compensation for your injury. If somebody has stolen your property, that's breach of Section 1, 2, A, B and C of the Fraud Act 2006 and Section 1 of the Theft Act 1968.
Mm.
They've committed fraud. They've taken property that they were entitled to. They've sold it. Who's in trouble? You're in trouble now. Guess what? We're going to run and keep you. We're just going to keep you out of court so you can't prove it. Nobody will be able to listen to you, so we'll just keep keeping it out of court. And that's like what you just said, it's taken all those years, even though it's a well-known fact that this sexual harassment thing, it's because they can dance around in the system. See, the sexual harassment is being, it's a physical assault. So it's common law. If hands have been put on, that's a criminal effort. But they're being tied up because she's got a solicitor. They're being tied up in that litigation system. You know, everybody remembers the the circus that was the O.J. Simpson trial. You know, that was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, how anybody, with the evidence that was against him, I have absolutely no idea how they got through that, other than a great lawyers team that dissected every single mistake and or made every single mistake look huge to the jury. How he got off with that and then get found guilty on a civil suit, that's very strange. So it looks like it seems to suit people as and when. If you're going to go into a civil system, the more money you have, the better lawyers you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know,
and your lawyers might be part of the syndicate.
And I've had solicitors sit in here and tell me that they've been involved in being a solicitor for 25 years and my argument is wrong. I also sat with a solicitor for an hour who couldn't grasp what I was saying until I explained it in a little bit looser terms, that your consent is needed in this setting. And I don't know if I told you the story last time about if there's a sign on the wall that says no spitting and there's a policeman stood next to it. I said to the solicitor, if I spit on the floor, is he going to arrest me? No, it's not an arrestable offence. I went, oh, okay, then how does he find me? He's going to ask me for my name and address. And once I give him that name and address, then I'm saying, yes, I accept that chance of a fine. What are you going to do, sir? Are you going to make me clean it up or let me off or give me a stern warning? But I've already set myself up for that fine there and then. But I said to the solicitor, am I obliged to give him my details if I haven't committed a crime? And he said, no. So how does he find me? He can't find you. Mm. It's about how he talks to you, how he extracts information. I'm sure I've just seen an article that school teachers are going to get, or school board members, I couldn't quite remember off the top of my head, that they're going to get police interview type training. Now, why would you want a teacher with police interview type training?
Perhaps if you wanted to teach the children how to properly behave in a police state run by a tyrannical government.
Oh, you sound like a conspiracy theorist, you do.
I'm just taking a stab in the dark, bro.
I can't disagree with you. Or should I say, in my terminology, I can neither confirm nor deny that allegation. But the weight of evidence, albeit whether they want to call it circumstantial, is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And
you know that old term from cradle to grave, the government's supposed to provide from you, from cradle to grave. And what I've started to think is that we've got graduate systems that you're forced into, right? So you go from the schools and in elementary school, then you graduate to high school, and then you graduate to another thing at university, then you graduate to higher education with a master's and then a PhD. You graduate to being a doctor or something of that nature, and in some cases you graduate to the prison course, and that's I think what I see the schools turning into now is just a preschool version of a prison. So that when you go into prison, inexorably because you've have some problems with society, because the family unit's been destroyed, you've got no strong role models except for Justin Bieber and Britney Spears, which are not the best, and you wind up going to prison invariably because of all of these social ills that are set against you. And these are things that happen before your birth. You don't even have a freaking choice in them, really. You know, you just get affected by them. You wind up acting the way you do because of your surroundings. In a lot of cases, sometimes people claw their way out of it, but it's extremely unlikely and very, very hard, even if they do manage to make it out of it in the first freaking place. So that is what is happening. Every single part of our life is controlled to a large degree to be heading in one direction, into debt serfdom.
Yeah. It's not just heading, we've been in this system for a while. It's just at this moment in time, even though all over these years they've given us booms and busts, at this moment in time, they're squeezing it so tightly, they're imploding economies everywhere, and they're doing it because they're going to devastate these countries. America is You know, it keeps getting delayed. They keep doing this raising the debt ceiling, which doesn't raise the debt, apparently, according to Obama. Now, I don't understand quite the logic behind that. So, you know,
that's because
he's far more intelligent than I am.
Yeah, but that's because it's a lie. That's
exactly. You just can't get away from this fact right now. This is the most eyes that this entity, this beast, has ever had on it in its entire existence. You know, we can all debate where and when it started and who started it, this, what, and whatever. It doesn't really matter. The fact is that these events have happened. There's many a thing involved apart from Freemasonry. You've got many, many, many other different secret societies that people don't know about. You know, Knights of this and Knights of that and all these kind of orders. And you've seen historical documents of these. The Thule Society, where the Nazis and all their occult beliefs and stuff like that. People think occult is about scary stuff, and it's not. It's just about hidden. And it's just like I said to you, if you don't know your bank account, your PIN number, and I've got your card and I know your bank, you have to come to me if you want money. I control that money, but I'm not actually lending it to you. So I'm not actually doing anything apart from going to the bank. And I'm charging you, maybe 40 quid for that, I don't know, and then interest on it. So every time you don't pay, every time you take, you know, that time to pay the £40 up to 200, I charge you interest on £40, which is, call it a tenner for argument's sake. So I've made 50 quid on four payments of 200 quid that I didn't get for you.
Yeah, but that's acting under the assumption that there's a limit to the growth of the money and the expansion of the money supply. The reality is, unfortunately, there no longer is a limit, or at least not in New Zealand anyway. Unlimited supply is able to be given, right? So you don't even need 1% in reserve of what you're loaning out. You need nothing.
Wow. Really, you don't even need $1 to lend 90 out now.
No, you don't even need 1 cent to lend $100 billion.
Jesus, that is no wonder, you know, that they're saying that New Zealand's the biggest money laundering capital of the world at the minute.
Incidentally, it is the, according to Transparency International, the least corrupt country in the world. Because Transparency International sends out a questionnaire asking the government of your country, so, what corruption has happened in your country this year? And they go, none, and send it back.
You couldn't write it, could you?
You're going to love this country, man.
Let me get this right. A country is being bled dry, raped and pillaged, and the people that you ask are the people who are doing it. Are you doing anything wrong? No.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's why Transparency International calls it the Corruption Perception Index. Because if the people who are perceiving the corruption are the ones who are responsible for the corruption, then it's accurate.
You're right. Oh my God. That's unbelievable. I didn't realise it had got so bad over there.
Oh, mate, well, the problem is it's that bad everywhere.
See, over in England, we haven't quite got to that stage yet. Or should I say, at least it's not encroached down into my life yet. It's not physically starting to affect. The fact is that the system has never changed in England because, like you said before, this is the country that gave birth to this beast. You know, our central banking system is everywhere. And the fact is, this is one of the strongholds. The inner city of London, therefore England, they don't want to have it turn on them too soon. Do you know what I mean? This is a bastion for them. The US now is expendable. The globalists have bled that dry. They've paid big companies to ship out to overseas to China, and you've used public taxpayers' money to pay for that, so they can only have to pay 7 cents an hour in wages, or $7 an hour. I'm sure it's 7 cents.
yeah.
you know, surrounding with suicide nets, forcing these people. That's much better to make money. You know, you're talking about people who would make arsenic a childhood medicine and still sleep like a baby at night.
Mm.
It's a different mentality to what people always put their emotions into if they were in that position. Well, if I knew that that was bad for babies, I wouldn't allow it. Well, you wouldn't be in that position where if that opportunity arose, for whatever reason it might be, then you wouldn't be in that position to stop it, because somebody would always be put in that position to make sure it happened. Because there's no other way that they would want this system to work.
Never underestimate the power of good blackmail.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. That's,
kill
that's
this person, or I'm going to release these photographs of you cheating on your missus, and we're going to release it on the mainstream media that we control. Okay, buddy?
Yeah.
What you going to do?
You're going to toe the line, or you're going to sacrifice yourself.
You see, me,
fortunately,
I'd fortunately try and sacrifice myself at every available opportunity. In fact, I said it on Facebook the other day. You know, the two easiest things for me to say, the first is, hi, and the second is, I'm sorry. So, you know, introduce myself. Hi, I'm Vinnie Eastwood, and I'm sorry.
I'm sure it would make the world a better place if everybody just said sorry. I mean, even if...
You've been to a supermarket. You've been to a supermarket. It's the most common thing you hear when you're, like, moving down the aisles and somebody's blocking your way. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's what... that's one of the things that Carl Lentz says, because he's an American. He's a very direct man. I mean, I'd go as far to say as he's one of the bluntest men I think you could possibly ever talk to, because if you're trying to talk law to him, if you're talking about legalese and civil stuff, he's not going to talk to you about it, and he's not going to let you down lightly. He's going to directly tell you that you're talking a load of shit, you don't need it.
Mm.
You know, this is how he works with it.
So he appears to have mastered the art of being blunt without being obtuse.
I don't know. He seems like a very genuine guy, but like I said, you don't know somebody just because you've seen a couple of video clips.
Yeah, totally.
You're sharing information. This guy's sharing some information, but he's very direct about how you go about it. And one of the things that amazes him, particularly over in England, what he witnessed was far too many people stand around being far too polite, while people like me, it's meaning him, if I want to get things done, I just go and tell him. He went to the Royal Courts of Justice at 7 o'clock at night and got a court opened because he knew what to say and who to say it to. There's always a judge on hand 24/7 at Queen's Bench because the Queen might want something. And we are the Queen's subjects, so therefore it's our court. That's why they don't want us in Queen's Bench. They want you to talk about absolute bollocks that means absolutely nothing. And they've just got the right people in the right positions where they're just going to keep telling you all this. I'm going to take this off you.
That would be quite nice, actually, because going to court in the middle of the day when people are supposed to be at work, so you can't work because you've got to go to court, that really sucks. It'd be a great way to get out of it.
Yeah, but like I said, this guy went and he said he went to the security guard, and he says the security guard told him it opens at 10 o'clock in the morning. He went, no. Getting now, and he asked for the manager. He asked for a specific type manager, and he said, "If the Queen was here now, would there be a court opening Queen's Bench?" He went, "Of course." He went, "Then I'm the Queen's subject, so open the court. That's my court." And he goes into the court and he presses the record. Now, this terminology is apparently terminology that judges are trained for their ears to pick up to, because they know that you are now operating the capacity of common law as a man and not as an entity. How we invoke that and get to that stage, I'm not sure of yet. Like I said, it's all everybody's learning.
You've mentioned something before, is that so many people are coming at it from all these different angles with all these different answers. And what I find interesting is I've talked to a lot of these different people who are going about it all these different ways, and they've all had successes.
Because there's no right or wrong answer. It's endurance and how good the people are at running away from you.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the stage that we're at, isn't it?
Well, I figure, like, let's say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it works, kind of thing. Do whatever you want. You know, and you just got to be prepared to accept the fact that you live and work against an unjust system. You have to expect that unjust things will happen to subvert the course of justice at all times. And sure enough, they do. But you just have to keep persisting and persisting. And eventually you start to realize that you alone are the one with the power to undo this particular section of the unjust system. And I think if everybody was doing that at the same time, the system would be under such massive threat from all sides that it would have no defensive capabilities whatsoever. It would be simply disabled.
It would be done now. It would be done if that happened. It's like I said, people don't realise just how indoctrinated and how encroached the system is on them. Because a lot of people just want to go to work, want to pay the bills, want to stay under the radar, want to go and watch football or rugby at the weekends, spend time with the friends, go on holidays. But the fact is, the game is rigged. If you're going out and swapping your labour for something, that's one thing. You know what you're expecting. You are actually wanting. You're saying, "I'll do that work for that amount of money," but then you get taxed on it, and you get taxed on it through a consensual tax. Now, there's no law stating that there is income tax. That isn't a law. That is simply fact. Now, if you wanted to volunteer tax to, and you knew it went towards the public, like say we have a thing called the council tax, which is a local rates tax on every property. Now, they rake all this in, and they send it off down to the coffers in London, and then they have to apply for it back. Now, I'm sure that people would, in a community would not mind at all paying taxes if that money stayed with that community, was spent on amenities, was spent on roads, was spent on things to actually enhance the community. You wouldn't get one person saying, "I won't pay any taxes." But the fact is, you've been tricked out of it. The money isn't going to you. It's going to private corporations. And the thing is, at the end of the day, the credit and the loans that you go out and get, you end up paying for as well. It's like insurances, Vin. If you claim on your insurance goes up every year anyway. All they do is project it into the future and state, well, if we pay out on this, if we pay, have to pay £20,000 out on this, his insurance, by the time we get to 5 years, he will have paid us that back and more. So you pay for the payment they just give you because they have liability insurance. Mm. So you, the commerce is there. You just pay your own money to get a compensation. So you get your, you know, you think you've just been compensated, but eventually you've paid for it.
So basically, they don't have any liability because they've got the ability to lie.
Vicarious liability.
You know, it actually does confound me sometimes, just the length and breadth of all the ways that people are being screwed over by the system. And at this point in time, there's a dualistic split happening. I think in university I heard about this digital divide, which means those in the third world don't have access to computers now, and so their rate of technological and cultural development is actually moving at a far slower rate than people who are connected with digital technology and computers and everything, which actually speed up the development of culture. Whether or not that development is for the better or worse, I think, is for the sake of argument. However, there does seem to be two inexorable truths. Number one, people on the whole are getting really, really dumbed down. And the second truth is that people in minorities are becoming far more intelligent. So you're actually splitting people up into a class of the dumbed down versus the wisening up. Now, there's good and evil on both sides of those. So let's say you've got dumb cops and smart lawyers. You've got dumb truthers and smart truthers. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of people within this movement, not to name any names, who don't have any idea what they're talking about at any given time because they don't know how to research, critically think, or even admit when they're wrong. And it's the same thing. I was perplexed one day about why there's so many people like that in this movement that's supposed to be all about, you know, truth and being honest and not being a scumbag. And you just find out that there's so many dishonest scumbags amongst us, you know? And I think the answer is they came from, like everybody else, from the world of their sleep, the sheep, okay?
Yeah.
Wherever you go, you take the weather with you. If you haven't actually developed yourself to the point where you can let go of all of those habits and emotions and thought processes that held you back in the first place, you're going to bring the same behaviors and habits into this movement, which we hope to eradicate that kind of mentality. But you have to do it yourself. Nobody can do it to you. Nobody ever wakes you up. You wake yourself up. Nobody ever solves your emotional problems. You've got to solve. And unfortunately, we've got to take a break just now. So, but just quickly finish your point, and then we'll go to break there, Paul.
It was just that when you're saying about waking up, it's for me. I've always known there was something not right. Just by certain questions that I remember I've asked throughout my life. But, you know, the things that got me into this from a very early age, I remember being interested in the Kennedy assassination and asking my dad in a documentary in about 79, I think it was, Dad, how did they make that last bullet change direction in mid-air? Because me and my dad shot air rifles. Now, I didn't have an air rifle that could shoot around corners. Apparently, they've got that kind of technology now. But I asked him how they do that, and he just laughed. He said, well, they can't. But he never told me anything, because it was up to me to, you know, he wanted me to go and find out information. Well, that's hard to come by in 1979. So it's all about the control aspect of it. It's,
thank God for the internet, even though it might be a double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is, Paul.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.